Thank you for listening to the Grace Chapel Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by our senior pastor, Kurt Henn. For more information about our church, visit our website at gracechapel.cc or follow us on social media at Grace Chapel, Ohio.
Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. The title of our message is Think About These Things. Think about these things. I'm always last one there to give you plenty of time, so hopefully you make it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it begins. Finally, brothers, that is, let me kind of catch you up in case you haven't been with us. The context here is that Paul was in prison writing this letter to the church in Philippi. And though he was in prison, he was experiencing a freedom in Christ because of the joy of the Lord that was his strength. And so even though he's in these restrictive, difficult circumstances, listen, he is experiencing the presence of Christ. And with the presence of Christ came the joy of Christ. And with the joy of Christ came the peace of Christ. And so that is what is happening as Paul shares this with us. And listen, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're a believer, then you know that the most important thing to you is that sense of walking intimately with God, is that sense of the presence of Jesus in your life, because with that presence, it just comes strength. With that presence comes his power. With that presence comes his peace and his joy, and it's so life-giving. It's so precious, and listen, when it's not there, and then, you know, we fear and we get discouraged and we fail and we get defeated and we get sideways sometimes, and we can go very, very wrong. Well, verse 8 continues. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, what? Think about these things. Well, the first thing that we discover here from this verse is that Paul had joy in the Lord. He was able to experience the presence of Christ because of what he chose to think about. Now, the reality is Paul could have chose to focus on the negative because there was a lot of negative stuff happening in his life at this moment. For example, you know, God called him and said, listen, I want you to spread the gospel across the known world, and I want you to plant churches. And so now Paul is stuck in prison. And so the question is, well, God, that doesn't make sense. You know, where's your promises in this? Well, why am I, you know, stuck here? Not only that, there were pastors on the outside using the opportunity of Paul's difficult circumstances to accuse him and, you know, tell other people, well, you know, Paul, he's pretty tough in his letters, but, you know, you meet him in public, he's kind of a wimp, you know, and listen, God's favor is not on him anymore, but God's with us, we're the new thing, you know, follow us. In addition to that, the last time that Paul found himself in jail, God divinely broke him out in Acts chapter 16. And so then there were believers, younger believers in their faith that were wrestling with that, that had the sincere struggle and question of, you know, well, where's God's power now? Well, where is God's presence now? Well, where is God's favor? I mean, this is what happened last time. Why is it not happening this time? And so we talked about that a little bit. You remember we said, listen, we are totally dependent upon God's deliverance, but we're secure in his sovereignty. That's a mature look at faith. That, listen, hey, we know that God can do all things. We believe in his promises. We will stand on his word. But sometimes there are seasons where we don't have God's viewpoint on what is happening, but that doesn't change his promises. And so Paul is, he's concerned about these younger believers' faith. He talks about these things in the book of Philippians. There were conflicts in the church, you know, between two women specifically. He talks about Euodia and Syntyche. They had served together, and now they were having a squabble with one another. He's like, man, you know, try to encourage these women that, hey, you know, put this stuff aside. You both serve the Lord, and you need to be united in him. And then he talks about the fact that there were other leaders that were men that were not really genuinely loving the people, but they were in it for their own glory. They were in it for their own ambition. And so Paul talks about all of those issues in the book of Philippians. And so, listen, he could have focused on what God was not doing in his life versus what God was doing in his life. And so he talks about that as well, that God was actually using his chains to advance the gospel, that, listen, there were other believers on the outside that were emboldened to share their faith because of Paul's suffering, because of his response to his chains. He was leading people to Christ inside the jail. He was leading all the guards to Christ. He was leading Caesar's household to Christ. And of course, ultimately, he wrote two-thirds of the New Testament that we read right now, while he was in chains. And so he could have missed out on all of that if he didn't choose what he thought about. So where Paul allowed his thoughts to go determined everything about his life. And so listen, his circumstances didn't determine his life, his thoughts did. You might write that down. My circumstances don't determine my life, my thoughts do. And so Paul put his thoughts upon the Lord, and that affected everything else. Now, I do need to make it clear, just because the culture we live in, you know, Paul is not advocating, you know, the power of positive thinking here. He's not advocating the law of attraction. Those are not biblical concepts. Those are doctrines of demons. You know, the idea, you know, if you just think happy thoughts, then it'll all be fine, or, you know, good things will come to you, or, you know, envision your own reality and, you know, it will happen. That's not what Paul is saying here at all. He is saying, listen, we fix our eyes on Jesus. We fix our thoughts upon him and his truth and his promise. And listen, he changes and affects everything in us and through us and around us. Well, one of the most intense battlegrounds that you and I face is the battleground in our mind. And so that's where so much of our battles take place. And listen, that's where the battle is most often won or lost. And so what we think is critically, critically important. And so turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians 10. Now, the way you find that from Philippians is just to turn back. You'll go, it goes Ephesians and then Galatians and then 2 Corinthians. So easy to find, just a few pages back, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll start in verse 3 and go to verse 5. So 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5. And Paul is the one who wrote this as well. He says this: For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. Well, where are those strongholds? In our minds, in society's minds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every what? Thought captive to obey Christ. That is, listen, we take every thought and we grab it and we ask, you know, is that right? I mean, is that true? That does that line up with what God has to say in his word? And if it does not, listen, we reject that and then we replace it with what God has to say. With what God has to say about us, with what God has to say about himself, what God has to say about life or about relationships or about whatever the issue is. Now, we need to know this as well. We can choose our thinking by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can choose your thinking by the power of the Holy Spirit. His divine power destroys strongholds, arguments, opinions, any idea, any thought that raises itself up against the knowledge of God, against his truth. Yes, you can choose what you think about by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's part of what comes with your relationship with God. And so listen, we bring all thoughts into obedience with Christ. And we ask, well, what does Jesus say about that? What does Jesus say about how I should respond? What does Jesus say I should do? Or what does Jesus say about this situation? Whatever it is. Now, I've had the privilege, actually, of discipling many young men over my ministry. It's been kind of a niche for me most of my ministry life. And so I've had a lot of candid conversations with young Christian men in my office, and they come to me and they will, you know, ask and say, Pastor, you know, listen, I'm plagued with a lot of horrible thoughts, a lot of defiling thoughts, and you know, they ask me, how did you get victory? How do I win in this battle? How can I overcome this? And so listen, this is kind of the simplified version of this, how I respond. And first of all, as I ask them, well, do you like those thoughts? And most of them will say, no, I don't like those thoughts. I don't want them. I try to resist them when they come. And listen, I ask that question because that tells me something about where their conscience is at. It tells me something about their sensitivity to the Spirit, and are they, you know, truly struggling with what they say they're struggling with. And so then I go a little deeper in terms of, you know, what their personal struggle is, you know, the depth of the stronghold that they perhaps have in their life. And so listen, many, many times there are demons involved. Many times. Demons hang out at porn sites. You can't just go innocently watch that stuff and not pick up unclean spirits. Let me just tell you that straight out. Many times there's demons involved, and let me say this as well. Many Christians who are plagued with horrible thoughts on all kinds of different issues, not just this one, but all kinds of different issues. Listen, those are demons. You have strongholds in your mind because you have habitually believed lies and you've allowed a beachhead for Satan to control you in that area. And so listen, this is what you need to do. You need to not ignore it. Most people don't believe it. They ignore it or they're afraid of it. Wrong response. Get delivered from it. The power of the blood of Jesus and the power of the Spirit within you, you can cast them out on your own. Listen, you have authority over Satan and his demons in the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, you can do it on your own. All you need to do is say, Lord, unclean spirit, come out of me in the name of Jesus and do not return. Get delivered from that stuff. Make sure that what you're struggling with isn't just a negative thought pattern, but it's actually a demon who is cementing that thought pattern in your life, because you won't overcome it until you get rid of it. Harold, we have one side of Christianity that sensationalizes all that and then causes the other side of Christianity to not want to think about it at all. Don't do that. It's real. And if you want victory, you need to cast it out in the name of Jesus. And then you need to put God's word into your mind. You need to cast it out, and then you need to put God's truth in your mind. So here's what needs to happen. You need to have a spirit encounter, and you need to have a truth encounter for victory. You need to have a spirit encounter, and you need to have a truth encounter in order to have victory. And again, the churches tend to focus on one or the other. It's both and. Because the Spirit wrote the word. They work in tandem. Well, ultimately, second, I go on to tell them this. Listen, if you're wrestling in this area, you need to cut off whatever is feeding those thoughts. And you have to be ruthless about it. You cannot give yourself an inch. You have got to get serious and you have got to get ruthless. You have to cut it out. Listen, Jesus says, if your eye causes you to stumble, what? Cut it out. Pluck it out. Well, he's not telling us to all go blind. That's hyperbole for, listen, you know, get serious. Cut out what's ever going into your eye gate, because it will affect your heart and it will affect your thinking. So get ruthless about it. Don't let anything into your mind that opposes the truth, that takes you away from the presence of Christ, that causes you to believe a lie. Be ruthless about it. It matters. It takes your life in a particular direction. It affects what you're experiencing in the moment. It ain't worth it. And then the third thing I talk to them about is ultimately, when those thoughts come, listen, once you've dealt with the demonic, if that's there, there's always some level of stronghold just by lies. Once you've dealt with that, once you have truth, then when those thoughts come, you capture it. You capture it, and one of the questions you ask, that I give them other ones, but the main one I tell them to ask is this. When that thought comes, you capture it, and you ask yourself this, who am I? And you respond with the truth of God's word. Who does God say I am? I am a beloved son of God. I am born again. I am set free. I am regenerated. I am dead to sin and alive to Christ. I am a new creation in Christ. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That thought is not me in Christ. That is no longer who I am. that's my old nature, or that is Satan trying to allure me, that that is no longer who I am in Christ. Do you understand that? You have to believe who you are in Christ. You have. Paul talks about this, and I have to unpack this someday when we get to Romans, because it gets taught in goofy ways. Paul talks about his flesh in the third person. When he says he struggles with it, you know, I do what I don't want to do and all that. He talks about it in the third person because that's not who he is anymore in Christ. And so he says, he's saying no to his, that's my old nature. That's not who I am anymore. I'm a new creation in Christ. I've been called to noble purposes. I've been called to God's purposes. I have a new mind in Christ. I have a new body in Christ. I have a new future in Christ. When I have that thought, it's not mine. I'm not going to own it in Christ. And so then you reject it. It's a lie. It's a lie to get you to act from your old nature, which is dead in Christ, or it's a lie of Satan to get you entrapped as well. It's him directly speaking to you, even though it's in your own voice, in your head. It can be a different voice too. So you reject it or you rebuke it. Sometimes you got to rebuke it, right? Sometimes you got to get a little aggressive. Sometimes you have to preach to yourself, right? I rebuke it all the time. It's a battle for the mind. I'm going to operate based on what God says is true of me, or I'm going to operate based on what the devil says is true of me. There's no in between. Do we understand that? I'm going to walk in the power of God, or I'm going to walk in my own strength in darkness. And so we reject it. We rebuke it with the truth, you know. And so listen, when we're facing these kind of scenarios, I like to remind myself, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God will provide a way of escape and so that you may be able to endure it. I will not have to fall in this temptation, in this trial, in this thought. Listen, no weapon formed against me shall succeed. We reject it and we replace it with the truth. We take every thought captive and we make it obedient to Christ. Is this what Jesus says? Is this what Jesus says is true? Or am I believing, thinking, and acting on a lie right this moment? We'll turn to John chapter 8. It's back a few pages from 2 Corinthians. So it goes 1 Corinthians, and then it goes Romans, and then Acts, and then John. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We'll take a look at verse 42 through 44. John chapter 8, verse 42, and we'll go to 44. Jesus said to them, that is the Jewish leaders who were plotting to kill them, that's who he's talking to. If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is what? No truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar. And the what? father of lies. So again, Jesus says Satan is the father of lies, and he is constantly attacking our minds. And listen, he's been lying to man from the beginning of time. And one of his first lies that he tells over and over again is, has God said? That is, did God really say that? Does the Bible really teach that? I mean, does that really apply to us in modern 21st century times? Come on, you know. I mean, does that really apply to you? Did God really say? And he looks to sow seeds of doubt in the children of God and cause them then to operate according to his lie rather than according to our good Father's truth. Take a look a few verses up at verse 32 before we get to 42. Verse 32, Jesus says this. Classic verse, you know it probably. And you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. That is, listen, there's no shortcut to this, by the way. We have to know the word. And you know I'm passionate about that. That's why I teach the way I do. And I want to just say, commend you and our church, because most of the people that are here and most people that are faithful, they know this, and so I'm commending you. We need to know the truth, and we need to know the word, because the devil comes with his lies. And listen, the devil will say to you, God doesn't love you. God doesn't care about you. Now listen, he doesn't tell you that, or he doesn't come with that lie when things are going good. He comes and whispers that to you when you're under pressure. When you're in pain, God doesn't love you, man. I mean, he would fix this if he did. He would do something. He didn't care. And so when that lie comes, listen, we have to capture that. We have to expose that lie. And then listen, we need to go to the truth. We need to exalt the truth. We need to say, what does Jesus say about that? What does God's word say about that? Well, wait a minute. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrated his love for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. That is, listen, God loved me at my worst, when I was full of sin, when I was his enemy, when I was rebelling against him. He put his love upon me. If I doubt his love, all I have to do is look at the cross. He died for me when I wasn't looking for him at all. And then 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Hebrews 13:5, he will never leave you or forsake you. Listen, God does love you. God does care. He has loved you with an everlasting love. He has drawn you with his loving kindness, Jeremiah says. So listen, we expose the lie and we exalt the truth, and then we're set free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Or the devil loves this one as well. And Corey was leaning into this a little bit in his prayer. He'll come and say, you know what? God can't forgive you, man. God can't use you. Listen, what is this, the 1,000th time you've done that? What is this, your 100 millionth chance you want God to give you? You know, just stay down, man. Give up. Listen, just keep going. You might as well just keep going in your sin. You can't fix this. I mean, you're done. Well, once again, we have to stop. We have to capture that, and we have to expose that lie, and we have to look. Well, what is the truth? What does God say about that if you are in Christ? Well, Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation. Satan is trying to condemn you to your condition and your sin and your separation from God. God says, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because Jesus took it at the cross for you. And so once again, we have to expose the lie, exalt the truth, and then we're set free. It's a truth encounter. We need a spirit encounter. We need a truth encounter. We need to be full of the Spirit and full of the Word. It's interesting, you know, the fruits to being filled with the Spirit in Ephesians 5 and the fruits to being filled with the Word in Colossians 3, they're the same. We need a truth encounter. We need a spirit encounter. Turn back with me to Philippians chapter 4. Verse 8 again, we'll unpack it just a little bit more. Finally, brothers, now Paul is going to list some things here of where our mind should be. That is, where should our heads be at? You know, what should my thought life look like? He's going to give us kind of a picture of that. Finally, brothers, whatever is true. That is, again, we've kind of covered this. That is, we capture that and we ask ourselves, you know, is what I'm thinking, is that true? Is that what God would say? Is that right? Is that what God would say about this relationship that I'm in? Is that what God would say about how I should respond to this circumstance? Is that what God would say about what I should do? Is that what God's word says is right? Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, that is, do these thoughts call out the best? And do these thoughts inspire the best? That is, do these thoughts call my mind out of the gutter? Do these thoughts call me apart from the cheap and showy things of the world and lift my mind to the lofty things, the higher things, the beautiful things of God? Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is what? Just, that is, listen, are my thoughts in line with, do they conform to the righteous standard that God puts forth in his word? That is, hear me, friends, we are not to be conformed to the world and what the world says is right. That's not what we do. Listen, we are to ask, does this thought, does this thinking, does this belief system, does what everybody else is saying, whoever it is, does that match up with the will of God and what he says is true? Listen, we believe that there is a determiner of right and wrong, an objective truth, a creator outside of his creation that has spoken what is right and wrong. It's objective. It never changes. We don't buy into our culture that says truth is subjective and it's whatever anybody else thinks their truth is. That's demonic. That denies God's authority. That denies God's rulership. And that leads people into darkness. And it usually means they want to morally misbehave but look good. Whatever is pure, that is, you know, is my thinking free from defilement? Is it stainless? Whatever is lovely, that is, listen, does it call forth love in me? You know those thoughts that just, that calls forth a sense of loving God more, a sense of loving others more? Whatever is commendable, that is, you know, are my thoughts of good report? Am I focusing on what is good? That is, am I well speaking in my thoughts, not just with my words, but am I well speaking with my thoughts about life, about other people, about God? Is, am I speaking well to myself? Here's what else is in the Greek with this word. Are my thoughts attractive? It's interesting, you know, we kind of have a cultural joke about, you know, if you meet a good-looking guy or a good-looking girl, and, you know, the joke or the stereotype, maybe is a better word to say, is, you know, well, you know, they're attractive until you get to know them. That's kind of the idea behind this Greek word, that listen, our thoughts are attractive. Verse 8 again. If there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about, meditate, dwell on, ponder these things. Well, listen, the Bible teaches in many places that what we feed our mind on, what we think about, listen, will ultimately come out in our life, right? But what I'm thinking about, what I'm meditating on, is ultimately going to come out in my actions, in my attitudes. And not only that, it's going to take my life in a particular direction. It's going to affect who I am and where I go and everyone around me. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh, so is he. And so the question for us tonight, myself included, is what are you thinking about? Are your thoughts in tandem, in line with the criteria that Paul just laid out? Or do you have anger, frustration, fear? I'm going to go off on a rabbit trail. Darn it. I have to say it. One of the things that has troubled me as we walk through this pandemic is I've seen so many believers afraid. I've seen so many people angry and frustrated, but I haven't seen people desperate to seek a greater move of God. Oh, people are angry. I'm talking about Christians. They're frustrated. They're fearful. They want things back to normal. But as a pastor, I'm like, well, where is the desperation for God? Where is the seeking of his face? Why are we not broken and asking God to move in our country and in our church? How can we not leave this spot until he moves? Where is the desperation for the heart of God? Okay, I'm all those things too, but we gotta go beyond that. We gotta seek the face of God until he moves, church. This is who we are. We are God's people. We believe in his truth. We believe in his power. He's the answer. He's the answer for our families. He's the answer for our church, our community, our nation. Why aren't we here? Why do we get up and leave without seeing his face and seeing him move? That's my struggle. And I hope that God will stir us more. Because I know that's the answer. It's always been the answer. Always will be the answer. Because this is what I know. Here's the promise. This is what's cool. If you will seek me, you will... What? We don't really seek him. I don't know if you've read the Proverbs too much, but the book of Proverbs is great. If you're raising young teenagers, make them read the book of Proverbs. You want to know how to parent in that age? Read the book of Proverbs. It's a father talking to his son. But in Proverbs, it talks about seeking wisdom as you would seek silver in a mountain. In other words, I used to say it this way. If we knew where the lost French gold was here in Minerva, right? If we knew that the lost French gold was out on said farm, we'll use the Catlets. They got a pretty good farm. It's out on a Catlets farm. Listen, how hard would we dig till we found it? How hard would we dig until we found it? Come on, church. Tell me. Forever until we would dig. Day and night, we would dig every moment we had. That's what I'm saying. That's what it means to see. God knows our heart. Listen, he knows if we're seeking him truly or if, as Corey put it, he's kind of in our back pocket. Back pocket, Jesus. That was pretty good, Corey. Might steal that. Anyway, that was rather true. So where are our thoughts tonight? Are they in line with what Paul has to say? You know, what are you watching? What are you listening to? A big struggle of mine, because you know I'm a Bible prophecy guy, so I'm always watching current news. I gotta be careful. My wife will rebuke me sometimes. She's the Holy Spirit in my life often, and she genuinely loves me, and she's genuinely submissive and responsive to me, so she doesn't offend me. I mean, she'll rebuke me if I've been watching too much news or reading too much news. I read mostly, but. You know, what are you scrolling through? Well, listen, everybody has a playlist that's clicking like a track in your mind, right? And a lot of times that playlist is not truth-oriented. A lot of times that playlist is not godly. A lot of times that playlist is full of lies and full of wounds, not only from your own sin, but sins of others. But what's on that playlist? Well, listen, we have to capture that. And we have to reject that. And we have to begin to replace it with God's truth so that what is on my playlist starts to be God's truth. Listen, when you're doing battle severely in an area, it takes work. And it takes capturing. But listen, over time, as you're in God's word daily, as you do it, you know what happens in the back of your mind? You're singing the worship that you heard on Sunday. You're thinking about God's truth that you read this morning. What's on your playlist begins to be God's truth, and you don't have to work that hard at it. And so ultimately, God's playlist looks and has the qualities of what Paul reveals to us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And so I would just tell you, my friends, my brothers and sisters, you know, finally, you know, whatever's true, but whatever is honorable, but whatever is just, but whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Let's pray.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this message. For more sermons like this, visit us online at gracechapel.cc.